This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10% by using the code FIT10 at checkout on any order. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. On this week's episode of the FitCast, we cover more mailbag questions. It's just Jimmy and I this week, but we do cover a good amount of subjects, including who we look for in the articles that we read. Also, we cover a little bit about what to look for in an undergraduate degree if you're looking to join the fitness industry. And also, we talk about how important protein is when building lean muscle mass. This is all coming up on this edition of the FitCast. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast, episode number 60. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me this week is, again, the fan favorite Jimmy Smith of JimmySmithTraining.com and JimmySmithTraining.blogspot.com and Jimmy Sweet. Smith on Facebook and MySpace and...
Sweet.
What else you got, Jimmy? You got more than that?
That's about it for my my technology genius that I am, which I'm really not. I'm horrible. But that's awesome introduction, Kev. Thank you, as always.
I just read the script that you sent me through email, so...
Oh, cool. Well, if you read the script, you take down the god-ugly picture of me that you put up every article, apparently. Apparently, you still want to leave it up to me. I got an email from someone, and I apologize for the person's name. I don't have my email open in front of me right now that said, me and the guys I work with crack up every time you make fun of Kevin. Your comment about Kevin looking like Grandpa Munster made me laugh out loud in the middle of work. My coworkers thought I was crazy, so I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, I think I gotta do something with my hair. I gotta stop just cutting it so short. Maybe I should. I'll stylize it. I don't know.
Stylize it, huh? Wow.
Throw some pomade or gel, whatever the cool kids are using these days. LA looks.
Run with it.
I'll see what they got. I'll go down to Walmart. But yeah, this is our show this week. This is episode 70, and it's just the two of us this week. And no, I will not edit in Will Smith.
Oh, I was just about to ask for that. I was just about to start singing it, actually.
Yeah, I think we already did that on the show.
It would be funny.
It would still be funny, but maybe it's playing, maybe it's not. It depends on how much time I have to edit this. But it's just the two of us this week. Everyone's pretty much tied up, but so we're just going to go at it full force and see what happens. But we do have a pretty nice show lined up for you. We have a couple more mailbag questions, and we also have some little bits and pieces of news, kind of doing some old school FitCast stuff, and talk briefly about a couple news topics. And I think we should just jump into that quickly, because I was talking to Jimmy earlier before the show, and I wanted to get his impressions on Hardee's, who is they're famous for their monster thick burger, which I think it was coming in at 1400 calories, and they're trying to one up themselves with this new breakfast burrito, which right now tops off at 60 grams of fat, and it sounds all right. It's two egg omelets filled with bacon, sausage, diced ham, cheddar cheese, hash browns, and sausage gravy, all wrapped inside a flour tortilla. The burrito completely contains 920 calories and 60 grams of fat. So I know before I go to school tomorrow, I'm going to pick up one of those burritos.
That's crazy, man. I mean, I guess that just goes to show you can never expect too little out of, you know, the fast food places. I mean, I'm sure it tastes good. 1,100 calories, I'm sure it tastes good. But
well, if you're bulking and you're complaining about food costing too much, that burrito costs $2.50.
That's awesome.
That's awesome for almost 1,000 calories.
That is awesome, actually.
So, I mean, maybe somewhere out there, the winter is coming, at least for us on this half of the hemisphere. Winter is coming, so that might be something you want to look into. But, that's crazy. Hardee's, and it's just like the shittiest fast food company out there, because they even have a salad that's 1,100 calories. Like, I don't know what you're putting in that salad, but to get it to 1,100 calories is it's a pretty big achievement. And if anyone ends up trying out one of these, please let us know how it goes, and let us know if you go to the hospital or anything like that. But I thought that was pretty interesting in the news, something that we could bring up and at least quickly mention. And on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, a story that's coming out of Australia right now is there's actually a growing number of middle-aged Australians are joining a calorie restriction diet, and they have a movement that's in a drastic bid to live longer. So this is something we haven't talked about in the past on the show, but it's something that has been known. I mean, if you eat, I guess you could say below maintenance, some studies that have been done have shown that people actually live longer. And Jimmy, I know you can talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's actually not it's not brand new with all the Australian stuff. There's actually been a lot of research done. I believe in Calgary, either Calgary or Quebec, recently that has kind of showed this as well. You know, I agree with it. You know, I think people that eat less calories are going to live longer. I mean, if you just look at people have a tendency to overeat, and people overconsume calories way too much, and there's really nothing good that come out of it in terms of, you know, you'll have guys that'll be bulking during the winter, for example, and like they'll be out of breath when they walk or whatever, you know, things like that. So I just think in the long term it is healthier for you. And again, now you have to factor in if people say, well, what about needing to build muscle? You know, the old formula, more calories in when you want to build muscle, more calories out when you want to lose fat. It's not necessarily true. You have to factor in activity level, limb length. There's a bunch of factors that are going to affect your BMR, your basal metabolic rate. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I try to eat under maintenance except for certain periods of the year, which is one of these right now. But, I mean, I agree. I think everybody should do it. I just don't think people should get too crazy about it. Again, if you have the basics of your nutrition down, if you're following a precision nutrition type system, you know, you're going to be all set regardless. I mean, you're not going to overconsume calories. You're not going to underconsume calories. You're going to eat for your metabolism. And I think that's where we have to go, is eat for your metabolism, eat for how much you can burn. I mean, I'm 6'6", and I'm now 240 pounds. Kevin, how tall are you? How much do you weigh?
Right now I'm 6 feet, and I am cutting right now, and I just got onto, I think it was 186 a couple days ago.
All right, so I mean, you know, right there lets us know that our metabolism is different in of itself. Also factoring, you know, muscle size on me. I'm more muscular than Kevin. My arms are longer. My legs are longer. There's a lot of factors that play into it. So you have to eat for your metabolism, and I think we're going to go too far to the extreme with the caloric restriction. I think everybody's going to always undereat, and that's not necessarily going to do it. Look, I don't care how many people want to tell me or show me pictures or whatever and say, oh, you know, you can, you know, get big eating, you know, no carbs or whatever. Like that's not going to happen. It's not reality for a couple factors, but you can gain muscle size, you know, eating slightly under your BMR. That's going to happen, and I think you also have to factor in the macronutrients that you're taking in and a lot of other issues. So I agree with it. I just hope people don't run too far and say they're going to always be in caloric restriction. I mean, you know, 7 days in a week, do something different each day, you'll be all right.
I mean, it's an interesting subject to bring up, and they even mentioned in the article the people that they're trying to mimic are the Okinawa people from southern Japan, which many people might have heard of the city before, but their life expectancy is usually 90 or over 100 years. So, I mean, that's if you can do that, you want to give away, you know, the joy of having those Oreos and milk, or if you want to live an extra couple of years. But my prediction is that we're going to have the technological advantage by the time I'm like 60 years old, that we're all going to be able to live for like 100, 120 years anyways.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And
I'm
I know
serious.
I was going to say, I know you're partly joking. I mean, we just can't, don't depend on anything else, you know, eat right most time of the year. Like, look, I'm, you know, this is going to be 5 weeks now of me, quote unquote, bulking. And I put on 17 pounds, okay? I have been eating like a house. I've primarily been eating good stuff, you know, oatmeal, street potatoes, brown rice, some white rice. Things like that. And granted, like, I've had some Halloween candy. I've had some milkshakes if I wanted to, whatever.
Just
I haven't
everyone
done
keep in mind, it is 10 days until Halloween, and Jimmy's already eating Halloween candy.
Well, I've been eating Halloween candy for, like I said, 4 weeks now. So the thing is, like, and I hate how I feel when I'm adding size, but, you know, it's sometimes I think you need to do that. Like, we're so caught up on being one extreme or the other. And when you look at it from a pure muscle building perspective, yeah, I understand that. Look, if I'm at, like, for example, I was at 8% body fat when I started. I don't know where I'm at now. I don't even care to guess. I'm not too extreme. I still have some abdominal definition. But, you know, we're going to have to do this at some point if we're going to add size. You know, people want to say lean bulk, lean bulk, lean bulk, whatever. But in the grand scheme of things, like, I'm going to do this, and by December 1, you know, I'll be around 250, you know, 255, 260, wherever. You know, maybe December 1, January 1. But once January 3rd hits, you know, I'm going to then start going back to strict eating habits and dieting down. And I don't think it's necessarily negative. I understand the consequences, and I've written in articles that we should never do it. But again, there's a time and a place for everything. I myself at 6'6", 220 needed more muscle on me. I mean, you know, maybe someone like Kevin, you know, in at 6 foot, you know, relative with his body weight, wouldn't need to do that. I mean, it all depends. I know in my case, my limbs are long. I didn't look that big. I'd ask people how much I thought I'd weigh. They'd say 200 pounds. You know, when in reality, I weighed 220, 223. I was lean. I enjoyed it. But, yeah, I think there's times for everything that we have to do. It's not an open and shut case is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. And it's something that we'll probably keep talking about in the future on the show. But it's always it's an interesting topic to bring up. The last little piece of news is that it's nice to see that fish oil continues to get high praise in the main media news, and there was just a story out that talked about a study done in regards to fish oil and the treatment of acne, which I think many people already knew, and that's something that I noticed is that my acne starts to clear up if I up my fish oil dosage. Although right now I'm taking Flame Out almost.
Good product.
Almost completely, because
I mean I love that fish oil is getting more and more popular media attention. I mean. I was over.
I still have my athletes. One of the females that I'm training, she's like upset. She like won't take more than 8 fish oil caps a day, and they're like the cheap fish oil caps that you can get at Walmart. And I'm trying to get her to take like 8 a day, and she's like she keeps it's still. She still thinks she's like gaining weight.
Yeah, but you know what? As long as she's taking them, like, I'd kind of stop pushing there. You know what I mean?
Oh no, I got her to take into 8 to 10, and that's the female that has the ACL injury, and we were able to play hard basketball 3 days ago, and her knee has no pain. And
yeah,
I know the fish oil is at least playing a little part in helping decrease that inflammation.
Sure, I was at a relative's house the other day, and we were talking about fish oil, actually, and my aunt brought up how someone who works at her school, she works at a school, said that they take it for their high blood pressure. And I was so happy that someone else, you know, was saying, oh, take fish oil besides me, because it always seemed like I was the only, you know, voice of reason just within my family of it. So, I mean, I was happy that I heard that someone's taking it for the high blood pressure. And fish oil is excellent. And, you know, there's still it's hard to believe, and no one who listens will believe, but there are still pockets that will say, a doctor told me years ago not to take it, so I won't take it. There's still pockets of people that do that. So it's just nice to always
years ago the prescription for fat loss was slow, steady state cardio.
Yeah, but that's still the prescription of fat loss, and I will argue that still works to a certain degree. So.
Yeah, and it's still like what I've been getting taught in my class up until this year. It's still what the ACSM, which is the guidelines that they're using to talk to us for exercise programming. There's still touting that is the main thing you should be using for people for fat loss, but
yeah, I mean it you know it works at times, and mm-hmm. at times it doesn't. I just don't think it's, you know, we can't say a blanket statement though that yeah. steady state cardio doesn't work. I mean it does for a certain degree of people, and
yeah.
I don't care if you don't. I mean, if you're telling me that, you know, it's bodybuilders because they take drugs, and you're an idiot. Like, I don't want to talk to you about it. You know, there's some good reasons and there's some negative reasons to it. So.
Speaking of drugs, just for our ESPN minute for this week, I know we had like an ESPN 10 minutes last week, but Paul Byrd, one of the pitchers of the Cleveland
yeah.
Indians that are playing against my Boston Red Sox in an hour and a half, he got caught taking HGH. And it seems like this is something that is going to be blowing up in sports over the next couple of years and before the end of the year, this year, that it looks like there's going to be a huge list of names that are going to come out for Major League Baseball, not only steroids, but also people that have purchased HGH. And it's just disappointing. And he technically, we should have already won the series because he shouldn't have pitched. But
No, he stopped taking them in 05. I don't want to hear a damn thing about he took HGH, so whatever. I mean, look, it's part of the game, and if you know anybody in sports, if you know anybody that works with professional teams, yeah, they will have told you that that has gone on for longer than you will think. I'm not someone to jump down someone's throat because they used it. Like,
and this is still something that people can, like even the everyday guy, he can get it prescribed by his doctor for certain conditions.
Sure,
so.
Sure. Like the Mitchell report, which is, you know, the guy who did mm-hmm. the investigation on steroids, it was supposed to come out last week. I don't know really what happened with it. I think they're
holding it until the World Series is over.
Yeah, but you know what? It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just another interesting piece. And, I mean, the acceptance of drugs is just it's pretty interesting in my mind. And we'll see
everybody,
what happens
in the future. I don't want to, you know, say like I'm a proponent of them.
I understand that,
but you know, I mean, everybody's kind of doing it to a certain extent, and I'm not saying run out and do it, but I just think that there's a pocket of people who want to be, you know, on one side of it, and the people that are against it will say, oh, they're only taking drugs or this or that. Like, that's kind of an ignorant point of view to take, because you don't know people's circumstances for taking it. Like, there are some people who will just take it just to cheat, but there's also some people that, you know, bust their butt every day and do it. It's kind of like, you know, to put it into a fitness industry perspective, is you get these idiots that jump on people for, you know, having long ad copy and doing all this internet marketing. Sure, there's some people in the industry that do it that are completely idiots that, you know, don't really know a lot of training. If you get in conversations with them, they won't know it, and they'll be you know, internet marketing, you know, 101. There's other people that know a lot in the industry and they're really smart that don't do it. And then when they start to do it, they get ridiculed for it. Like, you can't judge, you know, people always want to judge either way, but you have to look at it like, look, for the fitness industry, people are trying to make money regardless. Like, regardless if, you know, you have a master's degree and, you know, you write for all these magazines and you're really smart, you know what? That doesn't pay off. So if I'm going to need to learn internet marketing to make more money and to create a better job status for myself and, you know, let me enjoy what I do more, then, you know, I'm going to jump on it. Like, I'm not advocating everybody getting into the industry and saying, oh, I want to learn internet marketing so I don't have to train people. No, you have to train people. That's how you learn. You should do it every single day. But, you know, I'm not going to jump down somebody's throat whether they're a smart guy in the industry or not because they want to have a good ad copy. And, you know, people are idiots that do that. So it's kind of like the same, it's kind of like parallel.
Something that you actually reminded me of that I wanted to mention on the show this week is we've mentioned in the past on the show Valerie Waters. It's Tony Gentilcore's personal favorite trainer in the world because she gets to train Jennifer Gardner. And by the way, Tony, really miss you this week. Jen, Keith, you're in my thoughts. And
you don't miss Keith. You miss Tony and Jen.
Well, you know, I miss them all. And I promised Keith I'd give him a shout out in the show. So there you go. But anyways, back to Valerie Waters. I was in the gym this morning and I saw a new piece of equipment that we had in the gym called Val Slide.
You hadn't known that before about the Val Slide?
No. Well, we have it. We have a set of them in my school gym now.
Oh yeah. And that came out. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, I think it's something that I'm definitely going to be using with my clients, and I think it's great that I don't even know how much they are, but our school, like, never buys. Oh, they're only $30. That's probably why.
Yeah. I mean, they had it had been out for a while. Mike Boyle actually talked about it at a seminar not too long ago.
Oh, we should probably mention what they are.
Oh, all they. I mean, if anybody saw the I don't know what's it called. I want to call it the thermal slide. That's not what it's called, though. The slide board.
Yeah, slide board.
Well, it is a very small slide board that could fit under your foot. So, you know, the whole goal of it is convenience. You want to travel with it, put it in your bag when you go away so you could do, like, slide board lunges, like sliding push-ups, whatever you want. I mean, it's actually a good product. I had a client that brought it up the other day to me and asked what I thought about it. And, I mean, I think it's a great product.
I think it's great. I mean, you can do, like, mountain climbers. Like, sure. With it, you can – the great thing is, like – if you can't afford $1,000 for a slide board, or it's like $600 for a slide board, I mean, this is a great alternative just to be able to do things like lunges. You might not be able to like go from side to side because there's no like straps on them and there's nothing that's going to stop you. You can't really do everything you do on a slide board, but for $30, and if your gym has some open area, but the key thing is that it has to be on carpet.
Yeah.
And there's no carpet in my gym, so I don't know what we're going to do about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Valslides are you know, an excellent addition. I know a lot of private personal training places that don't necessarily have a lot of space that have them. You know, I think it's a cool piece of equipment. I'm surprised to see it's actually in your gym, though.
Yeah, I was surprised, dude. Like, we're still...
Because most gyms are, like, disconnected, you know? Like, before I started writing for T-Nation, Tony used to always say to me, yeah, you know, everybody in my gym, I work in the biggest gym in Boston, no one's ever heard of T-Nation. You know, things like that. So it's always surprising how the mainstream gym is so disconnected from what goes on, even in the mainstream magazines, because I've seen the Valslide in magazines on the newsstand, you know? It's funny how even mainstream places like that are disconnected to even, like, the simplest things. So I'm surprised. I would be shocked if I saw it near. Like, I'm shocked when I see, you know, someone with jump stretch bands or you know, blast straps in the gym. Like, what? You know that? I'm not the only person that knows that?
Yeah, it's... I'll let everyone know how it goes, but this stuff, I mean, it looks like a great tool, and again, for $30, you can pick them up at valleywaters.com if you're interested, and give it a shot. Like, I missed the slide board that I got to use at Excel. I wish we really could afford one, but we also need to glute ham raise, and we need platforms.
Yeah, most places aren't going to get those.
Yeah, well, the woman that heads the fitness center, Sarah Testo at my school, she's like really trying to lobby to... Our gym's only like 6 or 7 years, or it's 7 or 8 years old now. She's trying to really overhaul it and bring in like bumper plates and platforms. She's like a descendant of Mike Boyle. She's worked with him a lot, and she's like obviously completely jealous of his facility. If you've ever been in one of his facilities, it's pretty much as good as it gets, for what you're going to get. And we have a pretty good D3 school, and I really think our athletes should be able to benefit from something like that. But all right, little side discussion, but it's all relevant. I think that's going to wrap it up for the beginning of the show. Let's jump right into the mailbag. All right, welcome to the mailbag section for this week. Our first question comes from Chris, and he asks, Kevin, as you may know, Jason Ferrugia is an outspoken strength coach with a lot of controversial opinions about nutrition and training. In one of his recent blog entries, he talked about his belief that high-protein diets are not necessary for muscle growth, and he cited guys like Coach Robert Dos Remedios and other vegetarians who carry a lot of lean body mass while eating hardly any meat, which I guess they wouldn't be eating any meat since they're vegetarians. But then he said that a lot of protein supplements are just benefiting the companies that make them and not the customer. So I guess he's saying that the companies are just promoting high protein and they're getting that to our heads. I have my own opinions on this, but I'd love to hear the FitCast host chime in with theirs. Thank you. And again, that was from Chris. So, Chris, that's a great question. And we did have Dose on the show a while back, and he did talk about this. So if you want to head back to the episode, Jimmy, start talking, and I will find the episode number.
Yeah, first off, I think it's funny how Jay gets a... always gets attached, you know, everybody on message boards like to say he's controversial.
Well, we still gotta have Jason on the show because I know
Jay
he knows
just tells it so. Like it is. I mean, I
exactly
actually just interviewed Jay for a product I'm putting together. You know, and Jay tells it like it is from his experience. Jay's been in the game a lot. If you check his website, you'll see the people from the vast sports organizations and walks of life that Jay's worked with. So I think it's funny that everybody says he's controversial. Jay says what he wants to say, says what he believes, says it with conviction, and stands behind it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, if some people that's controversial, then I guess that is. But in terms of his stance on what he said, I mean, I definitely, you know, I agree with some of it. A lot of it, what people have to realize is, like the reader said, or, you know, the listener said, he has his own opinion on things, and that you have to formulate your own opinions. And this is kind of what me and Jay talked about the other day. is that people will pick different will get different programs and try to combine them all instead of finding similarities and formulating their own opinion. But now back to his question about it. You know, I agree with him to a certain extent. You know, high protein diets aren't the best all the time. There's needs for cycling for protein, and I'm just finishing an article up on that. But at the same time, we have to just look at, look, what's our opinion? And you have to look from the person's experience. And me and Keith have talked about this all the time. Just because Keith has been in the game longer than me, it doesn't mean better or worse in either scenario. What it means is Keith has been exposed to different...
Keith is better than you. Come on.
I'm going to slam you next time I see you. It means Keith has had different experiences with stuff, you know? But me not being in the game as long as Keith, I've had different experiences than Keith. You know, to really put in a simple thing, and this is totally not true, maybe Keith has never worked with a shoulder case, and maybe I've never worked with an ankle case. You know, that's the most simplistic view of it right there that I can give people. So you have to look at it from the person's experience, and Jay's been in the game long enough, he's put muscle mass on people, and I'm sure Jay will just tell you, look, if you're not causing overload in your muscle, you know, I don't care what type of diet you have. So I just think people, in the grand scheme of things, like, formulate your own opinion with it, read what people are saying, and then come up with it, but don't go to the extreme and say, oh, Jason doesn't know what he's talking about because he said vegetarian diets can't add muscle. Like, that's just stupid. Like, don't be stupid. Like, he says what he wants to say. He says what his experience has taught him, what he believes in, just like I do, just like Keith does, Tony, Jen, whoever else. And then it's left for people to find out. Like, the bad apples, the people that are wrong in this industry will be weeded out, you know, and they'll be, you know, people will know who's who. So I think, you know, I agree with some of the stuff Jay says. I've had my own experiences with some of the stuff. So, you know, that's kind of my take on it.
First off, Chris, that's episode number 30. If you want to jump back to that episode and check it out, he actually details a lot about his diet. And he talked about that he does use soy protein as a supplement. And he just gets in a vast range of incomplete proteins. And he seems to be doing pretty good with the way he's set it up. And if you've ever met Dose, he's got a good amount of lean body mass on him. And I hope we're going to have him back on the show in a couple of weeks to actually talk about his new book. So make sure to check that out. And we'll bring up the question once again to him and to see if anything's changed in the last... It's been almost a year since we talked to him. So it'll be interesting to ask him about that. We'll jump into the next question that comes from Paul. Do you put your intervals in the beginning of your workouts, before lifting, or after? And also, why? And I think Paul does have a legitimate question here, but I think from many of what I've read and what I've heard said is that to put them at the end of the workouts just so you're not so tired your weight training suffers.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you were asking me that or if you were passing it on to me.
I was passing it on to you. I was leaving it open.
All right. I definitely put them at the end of the workout. I mean, I don't see any reason to put them at the
end. Yeah, I was trying to think of a reason why you'd put them at the beginning, but I really couldn't.
Well, because there really is none. I mean, to be quite frank, there really is no reason to put them at the beginning. You're just going to deplete muscle glycogen. Which is what you're going to need to train at high intensity. You're going to just fatigue yourself. You're going to cause
especially fatigue. if you're in a caloric deficit and you're going loss, it's going to hurt.
You're going to cause fatigue substrates to build up in the muscle, you know, and then your training session, which should be, you know, last time, look, I got from 13% body fat to 8% body fat without doing a bit of cardio, okay, in the summer. All natural, so, you know, right there to stop anybody what they're going to think.
Oh, just on ESPN.com, Jimmy Smith of JimmyStrainingTraining.com, HGH. Sorry.
Yeah. Don't ever say that again. but yeah, so like I got down to 8%, which for a lot of people is heaven, without doing a damn thing of cardio, you know. And I took green tea, and I took CLA, and I took fish oil, alpha lipoic acid. You know, nothing, no stimulants. I didn't get it too crazy, but my weight training was point on. I was doing complexes. I was doing supersets. I was doing giant sets. Circuits. That's the name of the game, because all cardio does is make us a smaller, less efficient person that we were before. And the only thing that's going to burn fat is muscle mass, okay? So if we do that before, we're not going to have the workouts we need to have, and we won't get the results we need to get.
Fair enough. I think that's a pretty straightforward answer. But yeah, I mean, Jimmy, if ESPN.com was reporting on you, that'd be pretty cool, though. So
it would be cool. One day they will.
We'll see. Next question comes from Adam Robbins. Hey, love the show. I know you guys write articles regularly, but I was wondering whose articles you typically look out for because of their content or just writing style. Thanks in advance, and love this show. So, Tim, I mean, you want to start?
You answer first, Kev. Answer that first.
I will. Again, I'm someone that I feel like I've been trying to read everything I get my hand on, as I'm still pretty much a virgin when it comes to anything.
In more ways than one. Nope. Dude, someone out there laughed, and that's all that matters. That
they
make
did.
People
they did. By the way, everyone out there is listening. Thanks for like telling your friends, because we got almost regularly 4,500 downloads of each show in the first week, which is like amazing, because we keep growing. And just thanks for telling your friends and everyone out there. Help the show grow. Lots of downloads. All right. Well, anyways, I'm a frequent reader of T Nation. So I tend to read pretty much anything that's on T Nation. I love the articles from Jimmy Smith.
Guy's a good writer.
He is. He does a pretty good job. And I mean, anytime I see stuff from Eric Cressy, Alan Cosgrove, Mike Robertson. I mean, really the main guys there at T Nation. I always find myself loving their articles, not only for the content, but just the way they write. They're able to make it understandable. And again, for most of the readers at T Nation, they're not trainers. They're weekend warriors. They're just people who are trying to look better naked. So it's easier for them to understand the content in the article. So I love looking out for their stuff. And also I go to EliteFTS.com, because I get Dave Tate. I love his writing style, and he's usually got some good stuff within the content. So I'm always reading things there. And I spent $12, and I got a subscription to Men's Fitness, which, by the way, Keith Scott has a nice article in there this month, or the past month, I think. But the stuff in Men's Fitness tends to be pretty well written, mostly advertisements, but that's any magazine. But yeah, that's a lot of stuff that I read. And again, I read anything from Boyle, and for books lately. I finished putting all my notes in Strength Training Anatomy, which I've taken me a couple weeks to get through, but I've been pretty detailed in the writing there. And also Berardi for nutrition, tend to go with him. Chris Moore has been having some great stuff in nutrition, and also Michael Roussel, another guy who has Mike's articles are great too, because again, they're straightforward. I don't like people that just circle around the bush and like tell stories and shit in their article. Like, I just want the information. I don't want to have to do any extra reading. I don't have a lot of time to read, so that's pretty much my spiel. And for females, usually Jen and Cassandra Forsyth. And also Rachel Cosgrove. I haven't read any Valerie Waters stuff. I don't think, does she write any articles?
I have not seen any, no.
Yeah. Typically them. And also I've read some stuff from Julia Ladowski, who's awesome as well. You should definitely go see her speak. She is like, if you train females, you have to see her speak sometime. But I think that's pretty much it for me.
Well, to wrap up and to summarize what Kevin said, basically he reads everybody in the industry because he wants to kiss everybody's butt to get them on the show as guests.
Oh, so yes. That's...
Well, you named every person you've been in contact with in the last 8 months.
Well, it's because I like what someone writes, like, I want to have them on the show.
I know, I'm just giving you a hard time.
Are you going to say, like, Brody doesn't know his shit? Or,
no.
Like, that's just the people I read because, I mean... The articles are free. Like, I'm not.
Well, no, I'm just saying you just kept going on and on about each person.
Like, I just kept thinking to myself, like, who I.
This person, and oh.
Well,
yeah.
If I see those names, they stand out to me. Like, you know,
I know.
Same with, like, you and Tony. Like, I'm obviously not going to say you and Tony because you guys are on the show, but again, you guys have done a great job of just getting information ahead. And with your articles, Jimmy, I find that I can actually just read them. because you put a ton of research. It's like a lot of it is just like you bringing together a ton of research and putting it out there in articles. So it's like saving a lot of work for me. So I like reading articles like that. So that's why I said those names.
My aim for when I write is to kind of put a lot together. And I'm surprised you mentioned Mike Crissell, not because of the quality of his work, because Mike's work is excellent, but he has a podcast. And I thought that was taboo to mention another podcast on the ThickCast.
It is, but he doesn't get a lot of episodes out, and I think we're doing pretty good. I'm happy where we are.
Thought it was like, you know, those old wrestling days where, you know, WWF didn't mention WCW and vice versa on TV. That's how I thought it was, dude.
Well, me and Mike Russell, cage match. Next.
Mike would drop kick the hell out of you.
I know, he's a pretty big guy.
But yeah, so my answer to that question... I'm just a fan of the industry, more or less, and I know I made fun of Kevin for saying he read the whole industry. And I think that's when you get into this industry, you have to be a fan of the industry, because if you're not, you're not going to last long. You're not going to get to the status if you want to write and be in the magazines. You know, if you don't have a passion, if you don't enjoy the industry. Like Kevin said, I T-Nation every day, regardless of whose article's up there. You know, I'll read that. Pick up every Muscle magazine every month. I was just in the bookstore the other day reading all of them.
You don't buy them, though. You just go in there and read them. Right?
Some ones I buy. Some ones I buy. You know, a couple of the ones that I write for, I get subscriptions to, so because they send them to me. So, I mean, you know, but in terms of if you want me to name names, and I'm not going to name a lot, and I'm friends with everybody in the industry, so I don't want, you know, to anybody say I exclude them, but I love reading Alan's work. Alan's work, he's funny in it, on top of being very well-written.
And I think that's something that you need, because when you get into reading articles about, like, glycolysis and stuff...
Sure.
I mean, you could start like wandering off unless they keep you interested, you know, and I mean, you might be interested in the subject, but if it's just science and more science and more science, you kind of lose it.
Sure. I mean, I like Charles Pollock and stuff, you know. My writing style, a lot of it was based on Eric, because when I first started reading Eric Kresge's work, I loved how he integrated like a science into like a reality type background, so that kind of influenced how I wrote. Off the top of my head, I just read everything in the industry. You know, I like reading Dave Tate stuff because it's always, you know, here's what it is, here's what I think, which is always well needed. I like reading Dr. Berardi stuff. I like reading JB stuff because he, there's times he'll write science heavy articles. There's times he'll write science and practical articles. There's times he'll write all practical articles.
And JB's a guy who has like, he has great ideas for articles, and he's like something like the Get Shredded Diet. Like I learned a lot just from that article, from the content that he
sure, and that comes from just doing it in the real world. And
yeah,
that's, you can tell by reading people's stuff who does it in the real world and who doesn't. You know, I can't really say I like. I don't want to just go down a whole long list. Obviously, you know, Mike Robertson stuff, Keith stuff, Tony stuff, Jan, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to go down the whole list, but I would say if those names have stuck out, it was those names that I mentioned. I like to read other stuff that's not training-based, though, because I think if you just read training industry, that's all you're ever going to be. So, like, doctor-wise stuff, you know, there's a couple of medical doctors, chiros, that I like to read, physical therapists that I like to read that aren't, you know, on T-Nation. Obviously, if someone like a Mike Boyle or Charles Pollock and people that have been in the industry for a while, anything they put up, I'll read, even if it's a take off an old article they wrote, just because they have that experience in the field. So, I mean, I just read a wide variety of health and fitness, right? So I even get, like, some physical therapy publications, you know, online, and you know, I read a little bit of everybody's stuff.
Another thing is... in the newsletters, like a lot of the stuff, like it sounds really stupid to say go sign up for newsletters, but everyone seems to be putting in great content. Like I know Cressy is just like, this is his MO when it comes to his newsletters have a ton of content in them. And also Boyles and Jimmy's, although his subjects suck, the subject lines suck.
I have some of the more original subject lines out there, okay?
So okay, whoever's a subscriber to Jimmy Smith's newsletter, look at the subject lines, and like, if it says, John, you a winner? That's not correct English.
No, dude, first of all, if you write any type of ad copy or any type of emails, FYI, they don't have to be correct English, okay? So you need to learn that. But second of all, you don't have proper English because it's not read as Kevin, you winner. No, that's
no,
reading it like a
there's no comma.
In the Neanderthal. It's Kevin, you, comma, a winner? Because it's questioning now, are you a winner, dude? So my headlines have been really good, actually, recently. My open rates prove it. So, I mean, you knock on me, but yet I guarantee you get at least 5 newsletters a week that say, Kevin, such and such newsletter, 82.
I like that. So it's mysterious. I don't know what's going to be inside. They could be giving me free discount codes. They could be giving me the secrets to eternal life. I don't know. So I open them.
Yeah, and what did you know about the one that said, why lazy SOBs succeed in the gym? You know, you didn't know what the hell that was about either, pal. You know, but you knew it had a little more creative title than Newsletter 89.
Well, I mean, we'll leave it at that. We don't need to bicker, and Keith wanted me to keep you in check.
I'm not bickering. I'm just saying, like, that's just, like, my headlines do not suck. They're actually getting better, and they will be getting a lot better.
Why, you gonna have, like, Robert Frost write your subject lines?
No.
All right. We'll move on to the last email that I got minutes before we started recording. It's hot. It's hot email. This comes from James McDonald. And,
no, we're not talking about the porn you get in your inbox either.
Well, that's spam. Oh. But you can... Yeah. His question is, well, just to, I should probably give a little bit background. He asked this question because he's a 29-year-old Canadian living in Edinburgh, Scotland. So we have listeners in Scotland. Wow. That's pretty cool, although he's Canadian. And he's been working as a personal trainer for the past year, but he's decided, based in part on what we've talked about in the show, that if he wants to follow that career path, that he has to get some further education. He says, I've already had an honors political science degree, but since leaving school, I've lost about 100 pounds and found a passion for fitness. Props to you, 100 pounds. It's a lot of weight.
Awesome.
So I'm searching out all the opinions I can on what to look for and what course I'll probably benefit from the most, and you'll understand that when we get into the question. Even if this question isn't right for the show, I hope you personally might be able to shed some light on your current studies and what's been most beneficial. Keep up the great work. Cheers, James McDonald. And see, he's already picking up like things that the Scottish would do, like cheers, because it's near England.
Yeah.
So, well, James, his question, I should probably get to that. What should someone looking to get into strength and conditioning look for in a good undergraduate program? And the follow-up, what courses, quote, areas of study or topics, have you found most beneficial during your academic study? And, you know, we've talked a couple weeks ago about kind of the paths that Jimmy and I have had so far into getting into the fitness world. Of course, he's already there and out of school and such.
I'm actually still in school, but yeah.
Whatever. But I'll just start off by saying, I picked my major based on the wording of it. It was health promotion and fitness, and with the wording of it, it covered a broad area. And 4 years ago, at 18 years old, I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do. I didn't know if I wanted to be an athletic trainer, or if I wanted to be a coach, or if I wanted to be a personal trainer. So I wanted to keep my options open, and it was in the health science major, and it allowed me to kind of go from there. So that's that. I picked it based on the options that allowed for me in the classes that were in it. So I got your basic health classes, and now I'm getting into the meat of things, like my practicum, my advanced practicum soon, which would be an internship, exercise programming, vast amount of three major nutrition classes, and to be honest, like I've mentioned this on the show, I'm not completely happy with my schooling. I've learned more in the last 2 years through things like manuals, like precision nutrition, or like the Allen's program design manual, and articles, free stuff on tnation.com, and articles through magazines, and just, I mean, this whole idea of the FitCast, that's been a huge learning experience, because as you guys listen to the show, it's like the same thing for me. It's like I do the show so I can listen to what these people have to say every week. And, I mean, I feel like I've learned more in that than I've learned in classes. Of course, I learned a lot in my kinesiology class, exercise, physiology, fantastic class. Love the crap out of that. And I know that my professor, Professor Timmer, listens to the show occasionally, so I have to make sure I say that. But I actually did, I learned so much more in those two classes than I feel everything else. My nutrition classes have been subpar, to say the least, basically just going through like macronutrient breakdown and things like that, and how to calculate calorie needs. Like my sports nutrition class last semester sucked. It was horrible. It was so bad that the teacher got fired. And congrats to whoever did that, because it was an absolute joke. But in regards to, sorry about the rant that I went on, but I think if you want to get into this, probably the biggest thing for major-wise that you might see is a health science major, and then picking your concentration through that. And you might want to go into kinesiology, or maybe something more specific like that. But I mean, that's pretty much it from my end. But you should find a college that has the classes that you are interested in. So make sure to look through the class catalog and see what the classes that you're going to be required to take for that major, and make sure the things that you're interested in and things that you think that you're going to benefit from. I think that's the most important things. But Jimmy, since you're still in school, I knew that. What do you think?
Well, first, Kev, I always want to publicly give you props for the FitCast. I mean, now podcasting is starting to become the popular thing in the industry, because people know in terms of traffic to websites. But
wow, who else is doing it?
It's different.
I can smack their asses down.
There's a lot of people that are doing it.
More listeners, Facebook.com, get in the group.
Okay, but that's awesome. But, you know, I always want to commend you on that, because that's cool. And you're right. Yeah, like if you know, that's something I probably would have thought of too. Like, wow, how do I get in with the big dogs in the industry? Let's interview them. You know, and there's still room for this that obviously in the industry. But and I also think it's cool that your professor listens to the show. So I would love to know what your professor thinks about the rants I go on. You know, and that's just kind of cool that your professor is listening to the show and that the show is out there. But back to what to the listeners' questions. First,
he likes Wii Boxing too. He let me bring my Nintendo Wii in a class, and we played
awesome
Wii Boxing just to see what the effects would be on our physiology. So
awesome.
He liked it.
Cool. But back to the question. Like, first, I just want to say just props to James for losing the 100 pounds, getting in the industry, and getting after it. You know, you're never too late to start. Don't think 29 is late. It's not late at all. You're in your prime. You know, work hard and good things will come. You know, the harder you work, the luckier you'll get. But to answer his question, and I don't mean to sound like I'm devaluing higher education at all, because I don't mean to do that at all, but unless you're doing it for, like, nutrition, which tends to be a little more clinical, or you want to work in as an exercise physiologist, which it's funny because I worked with a trainer one time, and he was so hell-bent on not calling himself a trainer. Like, look, I don't run and tell people I'm a trainer, because people have a preconceived notion of what you are and what you do.
And they'll start asking questions. How do I lose weight?
Well, no, they'll ask questions, but they'll also think, oh, wow, you're a trainer. Like, you know, but this guy, you know, had a degree in exercise physiology, had a master's in it, and was essentially an exercise physiologist. And all he did was train people all day. Like, he didn't do testing. He didn't do anything that exercise physiologist did. Yet he was so quick to call himself exercise physiologist, because he didn't like the trainer term. But getting off that rant, You know, I don't think it matters that much unless you are an exercise physiologist, unless you're working in the lab, or unless you have a nutrition thing. Then I think the strength of the program matters a little more. Sure, better programs, you know, like a UConn for kinesiology, like a Penn State, you know, will generally have better courses and better instructors there. But
you could go down to Texas and learn from John Berardi.
Well, JB is actually in Canada. He's an adjunct professor, but he's
he doesn't teach in.
He does. He does, but it's adjunct.
Oh,
it's a J. You know.
Well, you could still do that.
But you know, I worked with a guy from Penn State, and I thought he was an idiot. I mean, not offending anybody out there in Penn State. Like, the guy was like, "This is what I know, and no one else is right." Like, all right, whatever. But I would just tell you, look, get a good program, get a solid program, and make out of it what you want to make out of it. Like, not to knock Keene State, you know, it's not the a top X phys program, but Kevin's getting a good education there. You get in, you get out what you put into it. So regardless of your, you know, the program you go into, you benefit by working hard. So what Kevin said, and I think his suggestion was great, is if you pick a route like kinesiology, look at the core requirements, look at the classes you're going to be required to take. Because if you're passionate about something, you will fire more motor neurons. You'll do better. Okay, so that's just something you should know. That you're laughing, and that's fine. But it's the honest to God truth. You know, that's why all the Canadian, you know, Canadian has all these strength coaches there, or overseas has all these good strength coaches in it. You know, because a lot of those people just truly get in it for loving what they do. You know, and you do fire more motor neurons, and you will be better. So, that's what I tell them with that. But don't let your education stop with higher education. I know a ton of people in and out of the fitness industry, they make a good amount of money, really enjoy what they do, and have no college education at all. Okay, so that's not the be-all, end-all. Get it, get after it, but also do it in the real world. Like, you have to attend seminars. Yes, you're at a slight disadvantage being over there.
Oh, well, they are actually doing some more seminars over there.
Yeah, but when you compare it, there's not a lot. And, you know, also, you do have an advantage because you're seeing a different culture, how they train over there. You're from Canada. You know, so you're getting different experiences than we are in the States, which is pretty cool. But, you know, but just buy the products. Like, I hate it when I have trainers that tell me they have to, quote-unquote, rob a bank to, you know, pay for a certification test. Like, what? Are you kidding me? It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, I've spent so much money on education, it's not even funny. And that includes school, and that includes products to get better, that includes seminars, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's going to be a determining factor. You know, your attitude determines your altitude type deal. So that's just what I would tell you. Do get the program design Bibles, get the precision nutritionists, get those products. And now it's easier to have a mentor than it ever was. Because back then they would tell you, how do you get successful? Find a mentor, you know, move there, pay for his time, whatever. You have the internet now. So you can email me, you can email Tony, you can email Keith, you know, you can email Eric, you can email whoever you want.
Opinions.
And, you know, continually ask them questions. Like, don't be a pain, but, you know, we all love getting email. We all love helping people. That's why we got into this game. So, you know, that's easier to find a mentor. You have online access to, you know, the strengthcoaches.coms, the T-Nations, the Elite FTS, places like that where, you know, you can just learn, you can interact with other like-minded people. You know, that's what they always say about seminars. You know, we all went to the Ryan Lee boot camp, and there was all people there that were, you know, into the fitness field. I mean, I love the field, and I get trained a lot by training people, but I'll come home, and I'll pop on the internet for a half hour, and I'll read all the forums, and I'll read the articles, and that makes me more involved in the industry just that half hour alone. And, you know, I'm disconnected. I haven't seen Kevin in months, or Keith, or Tony, or whoever. You know, just put into it, and you'll get a lot out of it.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, you said it perfectly, because as much as I'm not, like, completely satisfied with the education here, like, the only thing I've really been dissatisfied is the nutrition. Like, everything that I've done for my practicum at the gym this year, like, it's been fantastic. It's been fantastic to actually take on a nice workload of clients and see what happens, try things out. And again, you have to go out there. You have to read, you have to learn outside of the classroom, because you're not going to learn everything that you need to inside of the classroom.
Well, I just don't think it really matters to a certain degree. Like, you know, when someone comes in to work at the office that I worked at to get a trainer, they don't say, he has a master's degree and that guy just got his NASM certification. People don't care. Like, and that's the thing, unless you're working, and now again, that's not to say, like, with a master's degree and with a CSCS, I can get a job anywhere I want. You know, and an MS and a CSCS and any letters after a name look great. But at the same time, if you just want to train clients, it's going to be hard for people to differentiate because people just honestly don't care that much. When they hear you're getting a master's or you have a master's, wow. Well, you know, people then that becomes something. But I would just tell you again the whole same thing. It's like, just put your effort out there and get known. Because if you don't put yourself out, like I laugh at trainers all the time that want more clients, but don't know how to put themselves out there. And maybe it's, you know, them not knowing because, you know, a lot of people aren't going to go and spend the money on all the marketing courses, et cetera, but, you know, like you have to put yourself out there. Like I wouldn't have gotten the magazines I'm in or all the writing I did if I didn't put myself out there regardless of what people think about me. Like I really don't give a shit what some dweeb on a message board says about me. Like I don't care. Like tell me you think I'm an idiot because I don't eat fruit all the time. You know what? You're not paying my bills. I don't give a damn what you think. Okay, so it's like, don't mind what people say. Like, listen, when I got my website, I got a lot of ridicule from people, you know, offline in the real world that were like, you know, you shouldn't do this and that. There was people being negative. There was people, you know, that would go and be like, oh, you're a free report and mock that. I don't give a shit. I'm making more money now just in the year I had that than they're making. And I'm not trying to say I'm better than them or not, but, you know, I'm putting myself out there. I'm doing something proactive. A great book to read is Winning Through Intimidation by Robert Ringer. I mean, that's one of the, maybe the 5 or 10 business success books you're going to read if you're going to read any. You know, that's up there with the Think and Grow Rich and, you know, The Secret and those type of books. And then the whole thing of that, and people are turned off by Robert Ringer's title because Winning Through Intimidation. But it's like, look, be the person to make action. Like if you and your buddies are out and two of them say, I don't care what we do, and you say you don't care, you're going to sit in that exact spot. Say, no, I want to go to a movie. Say, no, I want to go eat at this specific place. Like you just have to take action. And that's really what I want to get across here is that you take action. You're only the only person responsible for your success in the grand scheme of things. So it doesn't really matter what people think of you.
That's a good way to put it, and I'm glad you got some of your emotions out and your thoughts.
Oh, no, it's just how I am, though. I'm just passionate about what
I do. Oh, no, I hear you, man. I knew that from the first day that I mentioned taught you. But, yeah, that's it's a good discussion. I think it's something that we're going to – again, it's one of those discussions that we're going to continue to bring up in the next couple months.
We encourage that, like, right, Kev? Like, we encourage people to – because you know, it's kind of like a trainer support system, for example. Like if you want to be in the industry or if you have industry concerns about how you get from point A to point B, like email us about that too. We're not just talking about the best way to get your 40-yard dash down or the best nutritional strategies. Like you guys,
maybe
you
haven't talked about that. We get to talk about speed training like soon.
We'll do that soon. But you know, just email us stuff in if you guys want to know about how to be. You know, we're not saying we're all top guys in the industry or really successful, but I mean. You know, you can learn from everybody.
Absolutely. And just on one last note, want to mention that James actually is new to the show. He's only started listening 3 weeks ago, but he's gotten through 60% of the episodes in 3 weeks. Which
I did that when I first discovered the FitCast. Like, I only discovered it like in its infancy, like episode 10 or 11. But I listened to a lot of it. Like, because I love doing that. I'd rather listen to stuff than read it.
Yeah, and... hopefully a lot of you out there keep in mind that the past episodes, they're not out of date. Like, the show's a year old. So a lot of the stuff that we talked about back then is still relevant today, and it's still the best of the best. Like, when we had Alan Cosgrove on, like, listen to the JV interviews. Like, every time John Berardi comes on, it's a default two-hour show.
Yeah, I listened to the one with Dr. Chris Moore the other day for the first time. Episode, like, 10, I think it was.
No, I think that was, like, 30. Five.
Whatever, I don't know.
But yeah, you guys, go back and check out the old shows if you have some free time. I'm sure you won't be disappointed. But as we say that, that's going to pretty much wrap up episode 70. First, got to mention our sponsors. Actually, you know what? I'll just do that completely at the beginning of the show so you guys don't miss
it. Thank you.
Just because that's how we're gonna do it this week. But I mean, everyone knows
it's the two of us.
You gotta check out blackstylelabs.com, turbonestraining.com, and also Mike Robertson Training Systems.com.
Yeah, I mean Robertson, if you're listening, shoot me an email. Damn it, I haven't talked to you in a while.
No, Mike's just like he's in hiding. He's scared of the New England Patriots. He knows if he comes on, I'm gonna be like 7-0. What's up? And November 3rd is November 4th, that's what it is.
In New England. I haven't watched any damn football today. Did the Patriots destroy the Dolphins?
Destroyed them. They scored, they scored 58 points.
Now the Patriots suck.
Dude, Tom Brady threw 6 touchdown passes.
I could throw 6 touchdown passes to those receivers if I had a half hour to throw the football every time like he does, too.
All right.
Well, I'm not taking anything away from Tom. I'll go down with one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
All right. We gotta go. Jimmy's gonna go cry.
Goodbye.
Wait. We gotta...
Oh, well, shit.
All right. So for episode number 60, or 70, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
We'll see y'all next week. Don't forget to check out our Facebook group. We almost have 400 people. We need 10 more. Check it out and go to...
Oh, 400 people. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Go to thefakeass.com. Check out JimmySmithTraining.com. All those great links. We'll see you next week with a full crew. Until then, take care. And Jimmy, what do you get? What do you have to add?
I'm going to hang up. We're done with the show. Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
5 years old, bringing comedy. Every time I look at you, I think, man, a little me, just like me. Wait and see, gonna be tall. Makes me laugh, cause you got your dad's ears and all. Sometimes I wonder, what you gonna be? A general, a doctor, maybe a MC. I wanna kiss you all the time, but I will test that butt when you cut out a line. True that, why you do that? I try to be a tough dad, but you be making me laugh. Crazy joy, when I see the eyes of my baby boy. I pledge to you, I will always do everything I can, show you how to be a man. Dignity, integrity, honor, and I don't mind if you lose, long as you came with it. And you can cry, ain't no shame in it. It didn't work out with me and your mom, but yo, push come to shove, you was conceived in love. So if the world attacks and you slide off track, remember one fact, I got your back.
Just the two of us, we can make it if we try. Just me and you.